I'm wrestling, do not weep for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 107 of the T-Row and Funky Show, brought to you as always by Defend Soap, Defend What You Have Built, and Dahlemer Mats. Tommy, what's going on this happy Mother's Day?
Nothing much, man, but you know, between me and you, our wives have 7 children, so we've probably had a busy day of paying homage to the motherland.
I actually went to a wrestling camp this morning. And I took my daughter to practice in the afternoon, but we did hang out in between and after those things. So, and I took our 5-month-old this morning. So, you know, let her get a little extra sleep, that kind of thing.
There you go, baby.
Yeah. So yeah, it was I guess good Mother's Day. I was actually in Columbus, although I did not see you on Friday. Had a good
I bet a lot of people think that's ridiculous, and it is, and it's my fault, just too busy, but I'm glad you were able to do the things that you came to do.
Absolutely.
Which had nothing to do with visiting with me, so
yeah, it had nothing to do with you, Tommy, nothing at all. You know, your counterpart Jesse, he's dynamic, he's got a lot of energy, he's got a lot of passion, and you know, I will tell you, me and Jesse talked right away when I got there. I got there right away in the morning, and then he had to go do something. I needed to knock out a little bit of work on my computer, and I was just kind of listening to the vibe of the office, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just such a good vibe. I don't know. You can tell just when people are talking when they enjoy being somewhere and they enjoy something they're doing.
Right.
That was the vibe I got. So I was like, you know, I feel that when I go to Flow too. I just feel like a really good vibe.
Yeah,
it was good to feel that.
No, I agree. I stop by there about once or twice a month, and I get the same feeling. So I'm happy you feel that way. That means a lot. But yeah, it's a lot of big plans, a lot of things that we're excited about. It's, you know, everything's in front of us. So I think those young employees, you know, they really feel like, because they're on an adventure. So it's a good energy when you're around them.
Yeah. So I got the shoe, Tommy. It's fantastic. Am I allowed to talk about it at all or no?
I mean, yeah, I think you can talk about what you think of it.
Well, I'm going to give you straight up feedback.
Let's go.
I got no complaints. So you guys use this Jesse, you know, I don't know the freaking technical term. Jesse's talking about all these technical terms. I'm like, okay, yeah. You know, I'm just going to tell you how it feels. You use some kind of like elastic type of material on there, and but it's like strong still. And man, it feels like I'm not wearing a shoe. It feels like a strong sock of some sort. It's totally awesome.
No, I worked out in them once, and it was a kids club 2 weeks ago. So I didn't put much stress on them, but I cut it loose, wrestled the kids for about 30 minutes, hit hard shots, shadow wrestling on my own, and I was. It's one workout, you know, for me.
Yeah.
I know we've had other people have wear tested it for quite some time now, but I'm really happy with it, and so I'm hoping that the wrestling community is happy with it too. So
I feel like they're gonna be. I had to make everyone at my wrestling practice today sign an NDA. I did catch a couple people try to take pictures, and I said, freaking no pictures, knock it off.
Yeah, that's right.
I had to put the hammer down on them.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we got a big week of wrestling, a very big week of wrestling, and I know that we're going to start talking, and we're not even going to come close to be able to talk about everything that's going to happen, so might as well just get going. So we got the World Team Trials, the Junior World Team Trials, the Women's World Team Trials, but before all of that, we have the Beat the Streets on Thursday, New York City. I don't believe they're hosting it. I should have done my research. They're not hosting it at Times Square this year.
No, it's at, I believe it's at Pier 17, maybe. Yeah. It's down in, it's across the way from Hoboken in Lower Manhattan. So still a very iconic location, but not in the center of the universe, Times Square, New York.
Yeah. So we got a good line. We got a really good lineup, though.
I'll tell you one other thing that's amazing to me is that.
What's that?
Beat the Streets to me still seems very new, very trendy. This is the eighth year.
I was just thinking about that earlier today, Tommy. I saw a picture. I actually wrestled in 2010. I don't know if you knew that. And I was thinking,
no, I didn't know.
Dang, it's been 8 years. And I think they started Beat the Streets a couple years before that. So really, Beat the Streets, you're totally right. It seems totally new and trendy. But dang, it's been almost a decade. I guess we're just getting old.
Yeah, no. I mean, on top of the fact that, you know, we talk about Beat the Streets, you know, because it's a cool event that everyone watches. But, I mean, Mike Novogratz and a lot of other people in New York, they've raised a lot of money and basically transcended the sport in the inner city and in the greater New York area. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Flo ran through some numbers on one of their podcasts about how many new high school programs, wrestlers, you know, X, Y, and Z that Beat the Streets has done. And I can't come off them off the top of my head, but it's a gigantic number. So, yeah, kudos to them. Something that, you know, I thought would spread a little faster. It hasn't been able to spread that fast. I think they've got Beat the Streets, Philly, Baltimore, and Chicago, and maybe L.A. I think of the five cities. I know they're talking about bringing it to Milwaukee.
Those are the big. I mean, there's the Beat the Streets, Columbus, Ohio. There but is? I think the ones you've. Yeah, but I think the ones you mentioned actually have a pretty impressive history of getting things done.
Okay, got it. So maybe there are more. I just don't know about them because they're just not quite big enough. So I guess the big match that everyone's talking about, and listen, I might sound like an idiot. I've been an idiot before, but I also have made a lot of good calls. I don't think Burroughs versus Chimizo is that close. I just don't.
I don't see it. I don't see it, Ben, either. Everything Chimizo does, Burroughs does better.
Yes.
And he's bigger.
Yes. And he's bigger. And he goes, you know, he goes through people. I mean, when's the last time you've seen someone funk Jordan Burroughs? It just doesn't happen. And I realize how good Frank Chimizo is in those positions. I get it. But Burroughs is just so good to his finishes, so crisp. And, you know, he does a lot of things that are very hard to scramble out of. The down block, go behinds, the low ankles attacking, you know, and he goes one ankle and then he attacks the other ankle. The double legs, all that stuff is so hard to scramble out of it. You know, I feel what I feel like Chimizo gonna Chimizo. He's gonna be cocky. He's gonna let Burroughs get into some of those shots. You know, like last year he was kind of playing around with Jordan Oliver, and, you know, and Oliver made it a very competitive match. But if you're going to try to do those type of things against Jordan Burroughs, it's not going to work out very well for you. It's just not.
Right.
And no, all Burroughs needs is, you know, his shot to lace transition is so good. All he needs is one. It's not like he needs five. I mean, if he hits
so I think Burroughs is going to win. I'm with you. But sometimes Burroughs kind of respects his opponents a little too much and just wins.
Really?
Wins. Sometimes. I mean, I feel like he's done that before.
I feel like, I don't really feel, I mean, that one streak he went on where that was like 2 years where he was just freaking destroying everyone was one of the most impressive streaks ever. And then really, you know, really since then we've seen his offense slow down a little bit. We talked about that last year. And, you know, and Dake's been able to shut him down. But Dake did what someone needs to do to beat Jordan Burroughs. He did nothing. You know what I'm saying? He stood in great position. He didn't give anything up. And he made it a dogfight, a very close match. But that's not what Chimizo's going to do.
And no.
That's why I feel like Chimizo's going to try to get wide open with it, and that's going to play right into Burroughs' hands. He's going to get a takedown. There's a very good chance he's going to get a takedown in the lace transition, and he's going to rack a whole bunch of points up.
Yeah, are they weighing in? And if so, what's the weight?
I think they're wrestling 74 kg. I mean, Chimizo is Shimizu said he's bumping up, so this is, you know, the first time we're going to get to see him wrestle, but I don't think it's going to be the last time. You know, I think he's established the fact that there's no way he's making 65 kg in the 2020 Olympics, which right. is, what, two plus years away. You know, and that's, that man, that is such a... I was just saying, I love that they added these new weight classes time, but I just think about, you know, when we get to the Olympic year, now 2 years away, how many good people we're going to have at some of these Olympic weight classes. It's going to be so ridiculous. It's going to be so ridiculous.
You know, every country's got to feel the same way, though.
Oh, I totally agree.
So it's like, we're always going to say this. And obviously that 65 kg, 74 kg is where it's most likely to be just super stacked. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it'll be wild for sure.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't want to get off track, but we always do. So forget it. Think about 74. Think about 74 kg in 2020. Okay. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is likely competitors. Burroughs, greatest of all time. Dake, Imar, Dieringer. James Green is going to come up. Multiple time world medalist. Mark Hall, junior world champion. And then, you know, you got like Nazar Klitschinski. He's ranked in the world. He's going to be there. I mean,
that's right.
Dieringer, probably going to go down. He's ranked in the world. Man, that's like Nolf is going to be there. Maybe Vincenzo. Yeah.
You got Nolf, Vincenzo Joseph, might be a four-time national champion at that time. Who else do we got here?
We named nine of them. That's crazy. Yeah.
It is wild. Vincenzo Joseph, four-time NCAA champion, is going to be like a 10 seed for sure in that Olympic trial.
Absolutely. I know you said there's a possibility. I don't see Joseph winning four titles. I just don't. I don't know. He had Imar's number, and he always steps up in nationals, but he has not been super dominant through the year, through the seasons. So I'm calling four titles there.
I'm with you, okay. And I would probably say, I don't think it's going to happen. But Ben,
what?
He's already proven he can do it twice. Sure, he's got a chance.
Imar won his first two and then didn't win his last two.
He sure didn't. You know, Imar lost three times in college. That's incredible.
And two were NCAA finals. You want to know something else incredible? Tommy, should I be bothered by the fact that we can never stay on topic? Because I'm looking at this Beat the Streets on my computer and thinking we should be talking about this, but whatever. We had Jason Nolf, and Jason Nolf was doing a camp in Wisconsin. I said, can you come in early and do a clinic with us? And I brought him out. We went and we chainsawed on my property. We pushed some trees down, and then we went and wrestled, and it was a blast, right?
Right.
But I was talking about – I think this is a super fascinating topic. I was talking about – in that when Iowa went on the run in the 80s, like late 70s, 80s, early 90s, how many Division I head coaches they pumped out? Okay, mind-blowing number.
Right.
And then if you think in the last 15 years, they haven't really had any head coaches come out of there. And now if you think you think about Penn State, okay, and you think about what's going to happen there. So, you know, you got Kaylee, you got Cody, you got Casey Cunningham, you got Jake Varner, Olympic champion, is your volunteer assistant. Okay?
That's right. That's right.
Mind-blowing. But now these guys are starting to come out. Like, David Taylor's out, and he's been competing. He's going to want to coach at some point. Then you're going to have Zane. He's
going to be a head coach. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but then you're going to have Zane and Nolf and Mark Hall and Vincenzo. I mean, where are these guys all going to go? Bo Nickel.
Yeah, they're going to be head coaches at other places.
Yes. Then. And so that Penn State philosophy, the secrecy that he is keeping is gonna get out. It's gonna be awesome. I think I'm a big fan of what they're doing. I think it's gonna get out.
You know, I think Ohio State, because if it weren't for Penn State's dominance, Ohio State might have about four team titles by now.
Yeah, they definitely would.
I think they're starting to get into that. You got Tom Ryan, Jaggers, Dilagnev. And they're not the same as Penn State, but you got Snyder, Stieber.
Do those guys want to coach?
I know Stieber does. I think Snyder wants to wrestle for so long that he keeps thinking that way.
It's
I know
Tomasello wrestled to 2036 or something insane.
Yeah, Bo Joe Jordan coaching in college.
I saw that. I thought he was going to take over the Graham dynasty.
Yeah, well, you know, you never know. There's a lot of Jordan boys, and who knows? So,
how many is there? There's three of Jeff's
kids. Rocky's on his way into Ohio State.
Okay.
And Mick has one more year, and then Bo just graduated.
Okay, got it. Okay, let's go back to Beat the Streets. So we got Chamizo Burrows. We put it down on that. The other main event, if you will, would be Togrul Askarov and Jordan Oliver. What do you think about this match?
I think it'll be a great one. I mean, Oliver's been chirping free J.O. for the past couple months. So, you know, he's training up in Ithaca with Dake. He pushed Chamizo to the limit last year. Hey, when he tested positive, Ben, was he a U.S. Open champion when he did?
Remember he had the very controversial match against Zane Rutherford where they gave the correct throw points?
Right.
That was what won him, right. That was what won him that U.S. Open. I believe that was a semi, and I think he beat Molinaro in the finals. And he tested positive at the, you know, and they test you after you win, so he tested positive at the U.S. Open, and that was why it was so controversial because it was a 1 year suspension from that date, which was like 1 day past this year's U.S. Open, and so he couldn't compete in this year's U.S. Open by 1 day, which was his last opportunity to qualify for World Team Trials. So essentially, it was a 2 year suspension. Not a 1 year.
Which is mind-blowing.
Which is mind-blowing. Because I don't believe it. I'm heavy on I want the drug testing to be as strict as possible. You know, I don't think that many people in America, in United States, America and wrestling are cheating with PEDs. I mean, Russia, obviously, they're cheating their ass off. But I'm really strict on it. You know, I want the MMA guys. But Oliver, man, it seemed like some really weird circumstances that he got popped for. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was right now.
I don't even really know the backstory.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna read it for you. Jordan Oliver accepts doping sanction. I believe it was some type of amphetamine or stimulants. It was supposed to be like some pre-workout stuff that he was using.
Okay,
something to that effect, you know. But it was like. I don't know. That's the USADA. I mean, you got to be careful. You got to watch your back. That's what I tell people. I barely even took protein supplements because I was worried about testing positive.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Yeah, those are two good marquee matches. Then you got some other good ones.
Yeah, Hel Meruas versus the oh my God, I'm messing up. What country is she from? Nigeria? World Silver Medalist? Okay. I believe she's from Nigeria. Anyways. And then we got some Cuban versus American matches. Okay, well, let's talk about the World Team Trust. I think you and I are both more excited about that. I was thinking about this, Tommy. I a lot of people are confused by the Final X thing. I am, on the other hand, very excited about the Final X, but I do feel as though that the three events, meaning the Open, the Trials, and the Final X, within essentially 6 weeks of each other, is too much. And so I don't know why that you can't do one event, which then leads into the Final X.
I agree. I think that the process is going to end up being really good. I think it's even good right now. But the ending part is the part that I think we've got figured out. I think this build-up, this three-week extravaganza where it gives you lead time to promote matchups. There's a lot of benefit to it in the streaming platform and Flow Wrestling and Track and everything in between is what has provided this type of coverage that we can actually pretend that we're, you know, boxing, you know, the HBO boxing lead-ins and stuff like that. And so I think it's a good thing, but getting to that point, it's a little bit convoluted. It's hard to understand, hard to follow. A lot of people are cracking on it. To me, it's just, we said this, Ben. I don't know if you remember, but we said this in the fall. We like it. We think it's good. But it's certainly not going to go perfect.
And no.
One thing that I think we're realizing, and everyone else is, as it's happening, is that it's just too much. It's too much.
The three events are too much.
Yeah.
Not the three final X's, but the open the trials and then...
That's correct.
Because some of these guys, I mean, some of these guys, say Isaiah Martinez. He's a terrible example because he is sitting out to final X right now. No, he's not. I'm correct. Isaiah Martinez, because that's Burroughs' weight, so Burroughs is sitting out to final X. He's going to have to make weight at the Open, he's making weight at the trials, and he's making weight at final X, all within essentially 6 weeks of each other. That's just too much. I mean, it's really too much to ask, in my opinion.
Yep. I got another thing for you, Ben.
What's that?
So this is just an idea, and it's kind of off topic, but not. So I talked to Kyle Snyder about this, but I was thinking, you know, how can we continue to keep significance with the U.S. Open, but if you're a returning world medalist, you're incentivized to not participate in the U.S. Open?
Yeah, and other people who qualify other ways for the trials aren't competing in the Open.
And I think the U.S. Open should be the only event that everybody has to enter in it, including returning world medalists, and the two finalists from the U.S. Open go to the final X with a promotional thing, you know, 6 weeks after the fact.
So you're not gonna give the world medalists a bye?
What I'm gonna give them is during the U.S. Open, they get a mulligan, one mulligan at any point in the tournament. What does that mean?
What is that?
You've never golfed before?
Yeah, but would they lose a match and they get to re-wrestle it?
They get to re-wrestle.
Oh, hell no, Tommy. That is mind-blowingly convoluted. No.
No. Hear me out, dude.
So Logan Stieber gets a rematch against Ironman?
No, because he wasn't a world medalist, Ben.
Okay, let's say he was. Does he get a mulligan? That's ridiculous. No.
A bye is the same thing, dude.
No.
A bye is the same thing.
A bye.
They get to skip.
Yeah, but what if they lose, like, in the quarterfinals? I mean, then you stop the whole tournament and re-wrestle the quarterfinal match?
Well, here's the thing,
dude's got to beat them twice? That's crazy.
Ben, they don't have to beat him at all. If you're a returning world medalist, you're automatically in the final X. So yes, I'm saying put him in the damn thing. Put him in the mulligan? Just give him a mulligan. That way they are incentivized to place at the Worlds. You know, they get a little bit of a benefit to prop themselves into the final X.
No mulligan.
Well, okay, so I can deal with you not liking it for sure.
Okay, what did Kyle say?
What I can deal with is you saying it's unfair. Ben, that's more fair than the bye.
Well, I don't feel like it is. I feel like they earned that spot, and now someone else is going to win, right? And so there's going to be one person versus the other person, and the best two out of three. You got to win two out of three. Now, someone say, okay, so say the, obviously the return medalist will be the one seed, right, Tommy?
Right.
Okay, so if you're the eight seed, you're like, damn it, I want to be the seven seed or maybe the 10 seed or the six seed. I don't want to be the eight seed because if I get the one seed in the quarters and I beat him, then I got to beat him again. Think about how unfair that is to the number eight seed that say he beats the number one seed, has the match of his life, beats him, comes back, loses to him again, and then has to go in the wrestle back to place?
Here's the thing, Ben.
That's rude.
If he makes the final X, he's got to beat him twice anyway.
But you see what I'm saying about the rest of the tournament. It messes up the rest of the tournament. I mean, if it loses in the finals, they would wrestle the finals.
Yeah, so it's not perfect. Maybe it's a little dumb what I just said. But I hate the fact that the U.S. Open is just whatever.
Well, what if Tommy? This year, like we talked about it, part of it was that all these people are sitting out to the trials, and so what if you just did away with the trials or called the Open the trials? I don't care what, one way or the other, that becomes one event. The winner of that and/or the finalists of that go to Final X. Winning the winner, if there's a world title for that class.
I still don't like that our absolute best guys don't compete in the U.S. Nationals.
Well, how else can you give them a leg up besides that? Because obviously you want that guy. And I don't bring the mulligan back.
I'm not doing the mulligan. I'm not. You convinced me.
But I do agree. I mean, listen, I agree with you to the extent that I would love to see those guys wrestling in the U.S. Open. I would absolutely love to see that. But I just don't know that you're going to find a way. Because if you say, okay, well, I mean, how else do you give them a leg up?
Well, back when you and I wrestled in our day, Ben, you still had day. You had to enter in the U.S. Open, and if you won the U.S. Open, you had a bye in the trials.
And the world medalists got no benefit. I mean, if you want to say the world medalists get no benefit, frankly, I am okay with that. And I think, I get that these guys prove themselves, but if you're that good and you're going to medal at the Worlds, then, you know, if we have someone domestically that can beat them, I'm kind of okay with that, Tommy. I really am. I mean, if we're that deep domestically that our world medals are getting beat, I can be good with that.
You and I both know this is true, that there are certain American wrestlers that do particularly well against international competition, but one or two or three Americans know the secret sauce on how to you know, take a win out of these guys. And so at the end of the day, I understand the premise of this is that it is a wrestle off to be the American representative. So you can insulate your, it doesn't have to be a 100% democratic process to make the team. Now, you don't want to get away from the ethos of the sport, which is, you know, if you win, you're the guy.
Yeah.
So you maintain that, but this is a tryout. And so
yes,
USA Wrestling is trying to create the best methodology to give them the greatest chance to get the best American representative the highest probable amount of times possible. And so I don't like some of the real old schoolers thinks it's bad. I don't think it's necessarily bad. I mean,
you mean that the guy sitting out?
Yeah, I don't think it's bad, especially when he does good against international.
I don't think it's bad.
But to your point, they did away with it. I'd be okay with it.
I could be okay with it too. I agree. Do you know how they used to do it like way, way, way back when, Tommy?
What's that?
Do you know how they used to do the system way, way, way back when? Like long, long time ago?
Yeah. Yeah, you had to like freaking start.
Everybody 2 out of 3, like all the way on up?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
That is like mind blowing.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. All right, let's go try.
Wait. So, yeah, I could be okay with it either way. If it stays the way it is, I'm good. But I would like to see only Definitely two events, not three. Because you're just having too many people sit out of the open. And it's a little too confusing. It's pretty damn simple if you say world medalist and final X, finalist of the US Open, go to final X. That's pretty simple for everybody to understand.
Right. I like that.
Okay. All right, I know that's kind of doing away with tradition that you're doing away with either the trials or the open, but essentially the final X becomes your trials, so whatever. All right, World Team Trials, 57 kg.
No Spencer Lee, do you think he's
I'm
hurt?
Depressed. Or do you think I'm depressed. I want to see him wrestle.
I know. Do you think he's hurt, or do you think they were just being strategic about him? I don't even know what.
I talked to someone that's fairly in the know, and they were very ambiguous about it. I couldn't get any answers. I couldn't get any good answers.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. I thought there was a decent probability that Spencer Lee was the guy this year. I really did.
I mean, I'm interested if he's not hurt, then is it Brand saying, you know, you're going to have to train like an animal through October, and that could compromise your college season, but I don't think Brands thinks that way.
Well, do you think they've already – I mean, obviously, Spencer Lee and Thomas Gilman have to wrestle each other sometimes in the Iowa room, so we have to have a pretty good idea how that goes, don't we? Or they, yeah, not, obviously not me and you, but there's people in the room that know how that goes.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, who knows? Maybe Gilman's kicking. Maybe I'm off. Maybe Gilman kicks his butt and they said, this just isn't his year.
Yeah, time.
You think?
I don't know. But I honestly don't know. For some reason, I don't think he's hurt.
Okay. But then you would think, if you would think that if Gilman could really beat him, no problem, right? That you would want Spencer Lee to wrestle the trials. That way,
you get to Gilman.
That way, Gilman's the guy, as opposed to him having to go through Tony Ramos or Dayton Fix. I don't know. I think that's what you would want. So yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I would like to. If I knew Spencer better, I would maybe give him a text and ask him.
I think there is, though, a little bit of an element. I think that Bo Nickel and Mark Hall are doing this a little bit, and Spencer Lee, and these guys that actually have a chance to make some noise in the Olympic trials, is that, you know, you need to get your break in now, because when the season ends next March, it's going to be a sprint
to 2020
until Tokyo's over.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I could see Brand sitting him down saying, Spencer, you know, you need to always be ready, always be training this summer, but it's probably better that you, you know, take your mind on a reset type of deal, because once college season starts next year, you're not stopping until Tokyo's over with, which is a long time. That's a long time.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So, yeah, to your point, you know, that's a good thought, but that's given that, Tommy, that's given that they make the 2019 team and then obviously they make the 2020 team, right? I mean, if you don't make the 2019 team, you're going to take some time off after that.
Yeah, but if you're Spencer Lee, you're probably thinking you're going to make the team in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I don't disagree with you there. Okay, so, yeah, I don't disagree. So you got Fix versus Ramos. Man, I know I said it on the open. Ramos did less than nothing in that match. You know, Fix was really pushing the pace. The one takedown Ramos did get was off of Dayton Fix's. He snapped him into his own legs, didn't move his feet enough.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, that match, I don't know. I guess I could see it going either way. I could see Ramos being able to shut him down again. And I could also see Fix getting an early takedown and throwing the leg in, getting the trap arm, and gutting him out.
I don't see Ramos winning by a wide margin. Obviously is likely. I think it's going to be similar controlling, kind of smother the match. I can see Fix, so he needs to open the match up. And it's a lot easier said than done, especially when you're 19 years old. But
yeah,
I think if he opens the match up in the beginning, it'll play to his strengths.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think, you know, if he scores an early takedown, it's kind of downhill. I think if he gets on top, I think he can turn if he gets on top. I think he's that good on top. And that's not one of Ramos' strong suits. Obviously, we saw Daniel Dennis turn him a whole bunch with a gut wrench. Yeah, so I think those are your main two contenders at that weight class. 61, we got Joe Colon sitting out till Final X. So the group that is chasing him is fairly large. I think Nishan Garrett's probably, I don't know, the leader in the clubhouse, is that what you'd say?
Yeah, but it's a crapshoot of guys that haven't really, you know, been on the world team. Has any of these guys been on the world team?
No, they have not, because
so we're gonna.
Well, let's see. 2017, Logan was the guy, and obviously he's up weight class. Who was the guy at this weight in 2015? Was it Cologne? Let's see. 15 was in. It was Cologne. No, Cologne was at 57 that year. Kendrick Maple. Was it Reese still?
Might have been Reese.
I feel like it was Reese.
I think it was Reese Humphrey.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, you have great memories we have, huh? So yeah, I mean, this is like, there's another weight that's like this, but it's just like, man, I feel like you go a lot of different ways. I really do. So you got, just so I say them all, you got Gross, you got Morrison, you got Graff, you got Garrett. Man, it really could, Tommy, it could go any way. I don't really know how to pick this one.
I mean, no, and it's those classes where there's not a whole lot of hype around it. I'm just being candid. But
yeah,
it's
no, that's true. I mean, if you want to say a weight class that we have the worst chance at winning world medal, man, this has got to be one of them, because you think about it, we won world medals at 5 weight classes last year. We won medals last year at 57. We won a medal at 70, 74, 86, 97. And heavyweight, and then you go to, well, our world medal is at 86, is now wrestling 92. David Taylor filled in at 86. He's, you know, people think he's gonna get a medal, and then Kyle Dake was behind Burroughs, and people think he's gonna get a medal. So really, it's the two least likely to get the medals here are definitely, absolutely, 61 and then 65 kg. Those are the two least likely.
I'm with you, man.
So, okay, gun to your head, who are you picking?
I'm going with Nishan.
Okay, I'm going to be simple. I'm going with Nishan also. All right, 65 kg, you have Joey McKenna. Joey freaking McKenna is sitting out.
Yeah, you know, the guy.
I thought he wasn't going to All-American this year, Tommy, and the freaking guy is sitting out of the World Team Trials.
You didn't think he had the fire, man.
What the what?
You didn't think he had the fire. You thought that...
What in the freaking heck, Tommy?
He had one bad loss to Tommy Thorne, and you wanted to sell him down the river.
Tommy Thorne kicked his ass.
It was bad. It was bad.
and he's sitting out at the World Team Trials. I was like trying to wrap my head around this one earlier. Like,
I was going to be sitting out of the Final X even then.
Tommy, no one would have called that. There's anyone who says they called that. Listen... Joey McKenna didn't call that because Logan Stieber's kicking his butt every day in Columbus, Ohio.
Right, right.
He really didn't. I mean, listen, I'm not in that room, but I don't guy me in that room to say Logan Stieber kicks his butt damn near every day.
Right. Not with you. I'm with you.
I mean, it's mind-blowing. So, I mean, you got to say, I guess Stieber's probably the favorite to come to the mini-tournament, although Ironman got the best of him, but... So they're doing the final 2 out of 3 at the trials. So if those guys meet in the finals, which I think there's a decent likelihood of that it is going to be, it's going to be 2 out of 3 between Stieber and Ironman.
I agree with that, and that's going to, I mean, stylistically, you watch the Ironman Stieber match, and you watch that match. I do think Logan's going to win, but. Just stylistically, that's a hard match for Logan, and I don't think he's gonna go out there and say, "Oh, he caught me sleeping. Now I'm gonna tech him." I think it's gonna be a war.
Yeah, because I mean, Stieber's gonna shoot all day, and that's where Ironman does all of his best work. So it's one that's of those right. matches that.
Yeah. We're not geniuses here, but you know, you put two and two together, that's what it sounds like.
Well, there's some things in wrestling where it's like. You know, some people try to make things way too complex, and sometimes the answer is way more simple than anyone wants to admit.
No doubt about it.
So, Rutherford's sitting out, another Spencer Lee-ish type situation. He was our guy last year. Frankly, he'd be our guy here again. I mean, he's going to beat Joey McKenna. I'm pretty sure in saying that, although I've been plenty wrong about Joey McKenna.
Right.
He's sitting out the year, going to wait till next year. So I say, as much as I want to pick Jay Nierman, I really, really do, I want to be a homer. I think Logan Stieber gets him in the 2 out of 3 series, and I think Logan Stieber, which I know we're not talking about finalists, but I think Logan Stieber gets Joey McKenna also.
Right.
Okay.
Well, see. We'll see.
All right, 70 kgs. So our man James Green, James Green is going to be sitting out until the Final X. So Jason Chamberlain, who was U.S. Open champion, will be sitting out the World Team Trials. So there will be a bunch of guys vying to wrestle him in the finals of the World Team Trials. Those guys being Kellen Russell, Kyle Rochelle, Hayden Hindley, Alec Pantaleo, Frank Molinaro.
I can't believe you called him Pantaleo again.
Pantaleo, my bad. Okay, so you got who are you picking? Let's go. We're running out of time. Who do you pick here?
I mean, in the trials?
Yes. Well, okay. Who do you pick to get to the finals against Jason Chamberlain of the trials?
Oh man, I don't know. Who do you got?
I'm gonna go with an upset here, and I don't know how this is gonna be seeded. I really don't. Because it can be seeded a few different ways. I got Molinaro versus Kyle Rochelle in the tournament finals. Molinaro beating Kyle Rochelle, wrestling Jason Chamberlain. Molinaro beating Chamberlain and Molinaro wrestling James Green in Final X.
You know, I think. Yeah, I'll probably go with Molinaro too. I mean, but
Chamberlain so, did beat him, like, you know, so he's got the one win.
Yeah, and I think Molinaro. I mean, I think he went Virginia Tech, not for better training, but to move forward in his life.
Yes.
So I'm sure he's training hard, but I don't know that he's, you know, grinding the axe the same way that he was. But I think based on experience, I'll probably give it to Molinaro into the final action, then James Green onto the team.
Got it. Okay. So Burrow's sitting out the final X. So you have Isaiah Martinez sitting out of the trials. Man, this field, I don't want to be bad-mouthing people, but this field is not
great. I think
great.
I'm all the way. I don't know who's going to make it out.
Well, Nizar is probably going to be the number one seed. So Imar sitting out. It's probably going to be Nizar at the number one seed in the mini-tournament. You know what? And he's great from the under-overs. And so when you think about who's given Imar trouble, it's people who can wrestle in that same position that he can. And if you can't wrestle there, he kind of steamrolls you, as we saw at the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's going to be Nizar versus Imar in the final 2 out of 3 at the trials. And I'm very curious. Obviously, I'm coaching the Badger RTC right now, so I'm not going to pick against Nizar. But I'm very curious to see how this plays out, because I think Nizar is going to be smart enough to really try to shut down and not only smart enough, strong enough to be able to shut down Isaiah Martinez's underhook game. So this is going to be a really, really tight series.
So Nizar was injured at the Open, right?
Well, he had a small injury, and he was wrestling at the Pan Ams 1 week later. And he was already qualified. So he said, you know, hey, I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to give myself a little bit of rest and be my best at the Pan Ams. And then obviously, you know, for him, Tommy, it would have been weighing at the U.S. Open, 1 week later weighing at the Pan Ams, 2 weeks later weighing at at Trials, and then 3 weeks later, weighing a final leg. So that would have been 4 weigh-ins in 6 weeks.
Right, right.
So him sitting out wasn't the worst thing in the world.
No doubt.
Okay, 79, another weight class that's not.
There's a little bit of hype on this, though.
Who?
I mean, I'm excited about this. Well, I think Derringer of Valencia.
I'm excited for that, too. Aren't you?
I'm very excited.
That's the finals. Okay, gun to your head. Who wins?
I'm going Valencia.
Really? Wow. I like Valencia. I think I would have picked Deirdre anyways, but I was extra impressed with him at the U.S. Open. I just think he's a little too powerful for Valencia. We'll see. I could be wrong, but I think that's how it's going to play out.
That'll be a fun one. That's gonna be wild too. There'll be some action on that.
And it's gonna likely be a best 2 out of 3, so we'll get to see that 2 out of 3 times, which is fantastic.
And I think Mark Hall's sitting out of the trials process, even though he went to Pan Ams, for the same reasons that we're talking about with Spencer Lee. It's just, hey, you know, when the season ends next March, you're going. You're going nonstop. I think that's why he's out. I think that's why he's sitting out.
I mean, it's not a bad – and we're seeing that with a lot of the Penn State guys. Obviously, we talked about Zane's out. Joseph's not wrestling. Nolf's not wrestling. Mark Hall's not wrestling. And Bo Nickel, from what I hear, is not going to wrestle. I could be wrong on that. So David Taylor's – we're up to 86.
I heard about Bo Nickel, by the way?
Well, I heard something. What'd you hear?
I heard that him and what's the 97-pounder's name?
Oh, Shakur.
I heard they're switching.
Oh, well, that's not exactly what I heard, but
I heard Bo might
go up, but I didn't hear that they're switching.
Yeah, I heard that Rashid's 84 and Bo's 97.
Very interesting. Okay.
So you heard I go up?
I heard Rashid's gonna wrestle him off.
Rashid did look small.
He did, but I heard he's gonna wrestle him off. Which I found interesting.
That is interesting. He's going to lose that match.
Well, you would think.
I think. I also think that Rashid going 84. I think you'll be able to follow this, Ben. But I think him going 84. I think he'll be worse at 84 than he was at 97.
Why? Because he moved so well at 97. Those guys don't move that well.
Because he moves so well at 97. He does have some glitches in his, you know, leg attack defense, things of that nature. He'll be less quick. He'll be less crafty. You know, he got rewarded a lot at 97 for having a great wrestling intellect. And at 84, you know, 80, there's a distinct difference in how people wrestle from 84 to 97. I think you know that.
I agree with you.
And I think he'll have a harder time at 84.
Yes. Agreed also.
There we go.
Although, I would have to look through who's coming back at 84 to totally make a full comment on that. But I agree with what you're saying, the general point.
I picture Rashid against Miles Martin, and I think it would be a bloodbath.
Ooh. Well, you did pick Miles Martin over Bo Nickel a whole bunch of times this year.
I'm doing it again.
I hope Miles redshirts.
I don't think he's gonna.
Okay. all right. Where the hell were we? David Taylor. Man, I don't think anyone's close to David Taylor at this weight class.
No.
Okay, 92. I also don't think anyone's close to Jaden Cox at 92.
Well, they're close to him. They're just not gonna beat him.
Okay. They're close, but not. They're close, but oh, so far away.
That's right.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. So we'll just, okay. Taylor Cox, boom. Heavyweight. Now, this is the fun one. So,
is Varner wrestling?
Oh, I'm sorry. We also skipped Kyle Snyder. No one's that close to Kyle Snyder.
Right. Is Varner wrestling at the trials?
As far as I know, he is.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So we got Gwiz sitting out, and we have Kuhn sitting out of the trials. And then Gable Stevenson is wrestling both the junior and the senior level trials. Wow, won't that be fun?
I love it. Love it.
I think Adam Kuhn is going to be your winner again facing Nick Gwiazdowski.
And I think Kuhn's going to struggle against Gwiazdowski.
You know, I agree. Generally speaking, I would agree. But don't you remember how close their match was a few years back in the NCAA Finals?
I feel like Adam Kuhn's gotten better since then. The takedowns were decisive. They were convincing.
Were they really? That's not how I remember. I remember.
Now you're going to make me rewatch it.
I'm just Googling it to make sure. Nick Gwiazdowski versus Adam Kuhn. I'm going to look. Are you looking it up also right now?
Yeah, let's look it up.
Okay.
I remember the takedowns being decided like 6-2, right?
No, I thought it was a lot closer. I thought it was 7-6, 7-5. Hold on, I'm trying to play it on YouTube here. Okay. Let's go. I'm going to third period. It's 6-4 in the third period, 35 seconds left. Kuhn's coming after him right now, Tommy. Oh! Kuhn in a low ankle shot. Chasing Gwiz. Oh! He's got two! Tommy is 6-6 right now. Third period. 23 seconds left. Gwizdowski is going to have to ride him out for 22 seconds to tie this up and send it to overtime. Oh, that was a nice shot. He chased it down, Tommy. I mean, nice shot for heavyweight, of course. All right, Gwizdowski on top. 20 seconds left. Trying to keep it up. Oh, for God's sakes, Kuhn, you rode it for 4 seconds. All right, 7-6. Kuhn's coming after him. Got the snap down. What's he going to do? Oh, come on, Kuhn, you got to shoot. He's running away. Oh, doesn't get to his leg. 3 seconds, 2 seconds. It's over. Gwizdowski wins 7-6.
We just replayed a national final from years ago on our podcast.
Boom, that was awesome. I got to go back and watch this whole match, Tommy.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so it was close. That was 2015 NCAA Finals. Sweet. Let's do it. Kuhn versus Gwiz. All right. You got anything else to say for yourself?
No, man. I do want the freestyle folk style debate. We strategically chose to not do it until the trials process is in a little bit of a dead period, probably. Well, I think we review the trials next week.
Okay.
And then the week after that, we do the freestyle folk style debate.
That sounds fair, because then after that, then we're going to have Final X for 3 weeks in a row. Boom, pie-yow. Fantastic. All right, Tommy, have a great night. Bye, man. And I will talk to you next week.
Sayonara.
Peace.
You are listening to the T-Row and Funky Show, brought to you by Defend Soap. Defend what you have built.